Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. Good to see you here today. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. Of course, there's a football game today, right? Matter of fact, I'd like Matt to stand up and pray for us right here. He's got the Manning jersey on. We'll let him. That's funny. I don't know. Did you hear about the guy that from Seattle that last August he went into a tattoo parlor and he had the Seattle Seahawks logo tattooed on his arm right there, and then underneath it said Super Bowl 48 champs. And all of his friends were kind of mad at him because they supposedly, you know, you're going to jinx our team. Well, now he's a celebrity because he did this back in August, and of course they're in the Super Bowl. He was on one of the late shows the other night, and some NFL executive or something gave him and his wife tickets to the Super Bowl, so they're going to be there. And, you know, if they win, he's going to be a real celebrity. Man, I hope he loses. You know? Just because you shouldn't get a tattoo like that. You know, I don't have too much problem with tattoos, but getting one in August telling who's going to win the Super Bowl, no, you shouldn't be rewarded with winning that, like that. Hey, listen, let's jump right in. I want to talk to you about mountains and valleys. We're going to be talking about this for the next few weeks, and it's really interesting, I think, because you know, life is a series of mountains and valleys, right? Matter of fact, I love this quote. I found this quote that said this: life is like a roller coaster. It has its ups and downs, but it's your choice to either scream or enjoy the ride, right? I mean, life is a series of ups and downs. Life is like a roller coaster. And we can either, you know, we can choose to enjoy the ride or we can choose to scream, okay? It's interesting because I think it's a good thought to think about in the beginning here, in that tonight for this game, after this game is over, it's going to be a great mountaintop for somebody, right? I mean, for one team, it's going to be the culmination of a lot of hard work. It's going to be the pinnacle of a career. It's going to be a lifelong dream realized. I mean, for one team tonight, they're going to be the Super Bowl champs, and, you know, it's just going to be awesome. And for the other team, it's going to be a great valley, okay? It's going to be a low. I mean, they can feel good about getting there, but, you know, getting there and then winning it is two different things, and it's going to be really, really difficult because both teams expect to win, both teams want to win, both teams have put in the preparation to win, they just are there, and one's going to be a great mountaintop experience, and the other one is going to be a really, really big valley. And to me, that's kind of what life is like. Life is a series of mountaintops, and life is a series of valleys. And here's the thing, folks. Where are you at right now? I mean, where are you at right now? Some of you here this morning, you're on a great mountain. I mean, things have been going great. Things maybe could never be better. You know, things are high. You know, things are going great. The job's going great. You know, all this kind of stuff. You know, Arlene and I, we're expecting this grandbaby, right? Well, yesterday we made a really quick trip and met our girls for Kristen's birthday. And, of course, Sarah was there. And she's halfway through her pregnancy. She's like, she's what, 40 weeks now? It's 80 weeks. And at 80 weeks long? Just kidding. I know how long it is. She's like 22 weeks now, so she's like halfway or a little over halfway. So I'm getting together with her, and she said, Dad, do you want to feel it kick? And I'm like, no, I don't want to feel it kick. Honey, your mother creeped me out when she was carrying you, okay? I couldn't take it then. And she's like, no, here, put your hand right here. And against my better judgment, you know, I let her put my hand on her stomach, and I had to sit there for like 2 hours and 12 minutes. But finally, you know, I felt something, and I jumped. And I jumped out of my seat, and of course she chastised me and everything. You know, it was like, oh my goodness, it was. But it's like, ah, I just didn't like that. Okay, I mean, and then the thought of like, my point is that God chose women to give birth because men, we couldn't do it. You know, women just couldn't. Look at this, men and women are clapping. It's like, Meg, you're right, brother, you're right. Women are like, oh, I believe that. Yeah, absolutely. but anyway, I mean, here you got this extreme, you know, I mean, what better mountaintop than experiencing the birth of a new baby? You have that, and then also had a conversation with somebody the other day, and it was like they were going through some really extreme health issues. And I'm thinking, boy, isn't that life? I mean, on one hand, you're celebrating, you're excited, you're enjoying this with somebody having something, you know, like this. And then here's somebody, and they're wondering if, you know, life is even going to be able to go on. That's life. So here's the point. Where are you right now? Are you on that extremely high mountain? Things are awesome. Or maybe you've been on the mountain, but now that you've started coming off and you can see the valley that's ahead. That's some of us. There's some of you here this morning say, Pastor, I can't remember the last time I was on a mountaintop. I can't remember the last time things were great. You know, I've been in a valley for a long, long time. Things have been really tough, you know, things at home, you know, your relationships with your family, things at work, you know, financially, things are difficult. You know, maybe that's where you are. You're in a valley, and the valley is so deep and it's so dark that you might see a mountaintop in the distance, but you're thinking, I'll never be there again. You know? And the thing about it is, that's all of us. We're either on a mountain coming down, we're either in a valley coming up, we're somewhere there, and that's the way life is. We're either on a mountain, we're down in a valley, coming off a mountain, going up out of a valley, we're looking for higher ground. But here's the point. How do you feel about it? I mean, how do you feel about where you are right now? You know, if you're on a mountaintop, things are going great, you're thinking, wow, well, God's good to me. God's awesome. God's blessing me. I got a great family, great job. Things are awesome. Things have never been better. You know, thank you, God, for blessing me like this. But if you're in a valley, you know, you look up and you say, God, what am I doing wrong? Right? Because here's the point. Our mountains and valleys usually affect us in big ways. Mountains make us really, really happy. Valleys make us really, really depressed. Mountains make us celebrate who God is and what He's doing for us. But valleys make us question the very existence of God. You know, strength and vitality, you know, give us energy for the day. But if we don't have that, we just sit back and wonder, you know, how in the world am I even going to get through this? You see, the reality of mountains and valleys is so clear to all of us. But I want to ask you this morning, how do they affect you? How do your mountains and your valleys affect you? I love this passage of Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 20 in verse 23. Let me read it for you, and then let me give you a little bit of an explanation of the context that this is in. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23, it says, their gods are gods of the hills. That is why they were too strong for us. But if we fight them on the plains, surely we will be stronger than they. Now think about this for a moment. Their gods are gods of the hills. That is why they were too strong for us. But if we fight them on the plain, surely we will be stronger than they. These are the words of the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad. And it's interesting because he was coming up against God's army, coming up against King Ahab. He had besieged Samaria. And what had happened was that God had said to Ahab, I'm going to deliver this king into your hands today. So they went out and they fought against this king and defeated them. And then this king who's back and he's talking to his to the people in his army and to the people that he was planning the next conquest with. And he says about God's people, about King Ahab and about God specifically, he says their God is the God of the hills. That's why they were too strong for us. He says if we can fight them in the plains, surely we will be stronger than they. Now here's the thing, folks. I think that this king makes the same mistake that we make a lot of times in dealing and fighting our battles on the mountains and in the valleys. Because what this king did was that he underestimated the power and the might of God. He said basically, hey, their God, he's the God of the mountain, and we fought them on the mountain and they defeated us. Next time we'll get them in the valley and we will be stronger than they. As if to say their God is different in the valley than he is on the mountain. Now let me ask you a question. Are you like me, and can we readily admit that sometimes we're just like this king? Sometimes we think our God is different on the mountain than he is in the valley. You know, when we're on the mountain, when things are good, when things are awesome, when things are going great, and we're like, God, you're awesome, God. Thank you for blessing me and giving me and helping me and being there for me. Go, God. And then we're in the valley, surrounded by the valley of the shadow of death. And we think that God is some way different. God is not present. God is not there. God is not as powerful. God can't see us through this difficult time. And the point here today that I want to make as we begin this journey on some mountains and through some valleys is just to realize that we must never make this same mistake that this king made. Matter of fact, let me do it this way. Let me give you some life-changing truths I think about us and about our God that we serve. Life-changing truths that can help us on the mountain and it can help us also in the valley. Here's the first life-changing truth. God never changes. Think about that, folks. God never changes. Matter of fact, I submit to you that God is the only thing that never changes. Right? I mean, everything changes. You don't believe that? Go to your next high school reunion. I went to a high school reunion a couple of years ago, the first one I'd ever gone to. Okay? I walk in and I'm seeing all these people. It's so funny, you know, because they give you that name tag and it's like everybody's looking at the name tags and says, really? You know, I was saying things like, wow. And then I realized that people were looking at me and saying, wow. You know why? Because everybody changes. Matter of fact, I ran into a couple of girls that I was kind of interested in back in high school, and I won't even tell you that story. You know where I'm going, right? Everything changes except God. I love what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's in verse number 8, talking about God. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, we change, we modify how we look at the world. You know, we accept new ideas. God never changes. The God that created in the beginning is the same God that wants to recreate you and me today. You know, the God that said that I will be with you to the end of the ages, you know, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you to the end of the age. And the God that said that is the same God that still believes that today and still says that to us today. You know, the God that says that I will forgive you, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, take my yoke upon you. You know, the God that said those kinds of things is still the same God that is with us today. And you know what, folks? That is so foreign to us because everything changes. You know, I bought a 100-year-old house when we moved here in Altoona, and we've painted it a number of times, and it was always amazing to me. You know, it's like you paint an old house, and then you just watch it deteriorate as the years go by. And not too many years later, what do you need? You need to do it again. You know, we are so used to things getting weaker, things falling apart, you know, weather and age and sickness and disease, you know, just deteriorates everything in our life. But the principle, the life-changing truth of God's Word is that He will never change. Now, what does that mean to us on the mountain and in the valley? What it means is that the God on the mountain, is the same God that's with us in the valley. You see, a lot of times we make God different whether we're on a mountain or in a valley. You know, we're all great with God and what he's doing and why when we're on the mountain. But he's the same God that's with us in the valley. You see, that brings me to the second life-changing truth. And that's just simply that we understand this idea about celebration and also sustaining. In other words, God wants to celebrate with us on the mountain, and God wants to sustain us in the valley. Do you get that, folks? God wants to celebrate you with you when you're on the mountain. God wants to sustain you when you are in the valley. You know, when you're on the mountain and things are going awesome and you win the Super Bowl, you know, a lot of times, somebody will do it today. Somebody will praise God or thank God for their ability to win the Super Bowl. And that's awesome. But what about the guy that loses? Well, God wants to be with him too. You see, we need to understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he wants to celebrate with us on the mountain, but he also wants to sustain us when we are in the valley. I love the Old Testament passage in Ruth chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age." Now look at the contrast there. He will renew your life. In other words, he will give you new life. He will give you new strength, new vitality that you didn't even know that you had. But he'll sustain you in your old age. That's the promise of God. Psalm 3 verse 5 says, "I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a beautiful picture that God is going to celebrate you with you every day that you live, the victories that you achieve. And then when you lay down at night, when you wake up the next morning, why do you wake up? Because God sustains you. I had a conversation just the other day with some of the construction workers here. We were just talking and somebody sneezed. Somebody sneezed and one of the construction workers said, "God bless you." And then one of the construction workers spoke up, said, "Pastor John," said, what do people mean when they say God bless you when you sneeze?" I was getting ready to, say something or talk to this guy. And he said, I heard one time that when you sneeze that your heart actually stops. Okay? When you sneeze, your heart stops. And when somebody says, "God bless you," it's their way of saying, "God, keep him alive, keep him alive." It's like, okay, I guess that kind of makes sense, right? But we need to realize that every breath we take is a sustaining breath from God. I mean, every morning that we wake up is a new day. It's a new blessing. It's a chance to celebrate and to understand what God has done and to say, "God, thank you for all these things that you've blessed me with. But God, also thank you for sustaining me." You know what sustenance means? Sustenance means that you're given what you need to live. So when God sustains us, he gives us the ability to live. So see, folks, when you're talking about the mountains and the valleys, God is the same. And God wants to celebrate with us on the mountains. But he also wants us to understand that when we are in that deepest valley, that he is there sustaining us. Here's the third life-changing truth. The third life-changing truth is that he wants us to be a witness of faithfulness. He wants us to be a witness of faithfulness. You know, he not only wants us to win when we're on the mountain and we're winning the victories and we're gaining the blessings and all these good things are happening, he wants us to be a witness of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. He wants us to be a good steward of what he's given us. He wants the world to look at us and to see the blessings that we have and know that we recognize that they are a gift from God. That I did not achieve them on my own. I did not create these blessings. Because out of my faithfulness to Him, I recognize the blessings that He's giving to me. That's what God wants us to be when we're on the mountain. He wants us to be a witness of God's goodness and of God's grace. But He also wants us to be a witness of faithfulness when we're in the valley. And when things aren't so good. And when strength isn't in abundance. And when things are not going well. And when things are uncertain. And when we're not sure what's going to happen. And the future is unclear. We should be a rock standing on the faithfulness of God. Do you know who Carmen is? I've loved Carmen. Now, I haven't checked in the last couple of days. Carmen, the Christian singer Carmen, he's like Cher or Madonna. He just has the one name. I'm not sure what the others are. You know who I'm talking about? Carmen? You know, he's awesome. He has cancer, and he's quite ill. And the other day, I saw that he had posted on Facebook that he was going through this extreme therapy with his blood, and his body was extremely weak, and they told him that in this state that if he got an infection that it would most likely take his life. And he sent out a post, or he put a post on Facebook that said, I don't know how it happened, folks, but he said, I got an infection. And I'm on my way to the hospital to be placed in ICU. And he basically said, you know what, I hope this works out. And then he said, but if it doesn't, God is good. You see, folks, everybody understands when we celebrate how great God is when we're on a mountain. But can you imagine the tremendous impact you can have on your life and on your family and on the people around you when you demonstrate faithfulness in the valley? Because in all reality, that's where we grow the most. We grow the most in the valley when things are tough. And allow God to help you to be a witness of that faithfulness, not only on the mountain, but also in the valley. Here's the fourth life-changing truth. It's about contentment. God, teach me to be content. God never changes. Celebrate and sustain. Witness of faithfulness. That's what we need to be. But we also need to understand that God, teach me to be content. Paul said it this way. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself in. Now, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? That whatever the circumstance I find myself in, he said, God, teach me to be content. He said, I know what it's like to have plenty. I know what it's like to be in want. In other words, he knows what it's like to be filthy rich, and he knows what it's like to be totally bankrupt. And what his point is that God is God, whichever one you're in. And that he wanted to be a witness as a good steward when he had everything, and he wanted to be a witness of the sustaining quality of the Spirit of God when he was in the valley. You see, folks, it's not about wanting more. It's about contentment with where you are in life. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Isn't that beautiful? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Someone once called the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Someone called the Lord, the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm of contentment. The Psalm of contentment in the sense that I am being guided and protected by the great shepherd. And even though, you know, he's going to lead me, he's going to guide me, he's going to prepare for me, and even though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear because you are with me. It's the Psalm of contentment. He leads us beside calm waters. He guides us. He gives us everything that we need. He's preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he's going to be with us from now and forevermore. It's a psalm of contentment. It's a psalm of contentment knowing that they are with and in the presence of the shepherd. So as we come together today, folks, where are we? How does our mountains and our valleys affect us? I mean, we know they affect us in a big way. You know, the mountaintop experience gives us vitality and vigor for another day. I mean, we love being on the mountain. We love honoring God when we're on the mountain, but yet when we're in the valley, do we realize that the same God is there with us too? He's going to celebrate with us, but he wants to sustain us. I mean, do we understand, do we really believe that our God never changes? That everything else in life changes, but not God? He wants to celebrate with us. He wants to sustain us. He wants us to live a life that is a witness of faithfulness, a witness of His goodness and of His grace. And when God blesses us and gives us everything that we need or want in life, that we celebrate this stewardship with Him. He is the owner. We are the manager. And then when things are tough, that we realize that every new day when our eyes open, and we draw that first breath of the morning, that we have been sustained by God. You know, folks, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a hospital wondering about what to say. You know, what to say to someone that's in a terrible predicament, and how to encourage them, how to pray, scriptures to read for them. You know, I've said, God, just give me something. A lot of times I've come out of those situations with the whole idea that, you know what, they've given something to me simply because they have this wonderful, wonderful perspective on life. And no matter whether they're on a mountaintop or they're in the deepest of valleys, they share a great faith in God that makes all the difference in the world for them and makes a tremendous difference for all of us as we witness that. So we're going to go on a journey for the next few weeks. And I want you to know that every step of the journey, whether it's on a mountain or whether it's in a valley, God is the same. And hopefully He can teach us and help us to see life for what it is, this wonderful, awesome adventure, and know that He is right there with us every step of the way. Right now, I want you to bow your heads with me and I want to pray with you, because I want God to give you a wonderful perspective about your life and where you are. And if you're here this morning and you are on a mountain, I want you to celebrate with God, and I want you to know that God is celebrating with you. But if you're here this morning and you're in a tremendous valley, I want you to know that God is there too to sustain you and to see you through, and to know that He will raise us up and make us strong once again. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. God, I thank you for these beautiful people who have come to this place today, Lord, to just really depend on you and to give their life to you. And Lord, to celebrate with you when they're on the mountain, and to understand, Lord, that when they're in the deep valley, that you haven't disappeared and forsaken them, but Lord, you're right there with them. And that, God, I pray that you would help us to relinquish the control of our life to you. That, Lord, we would not take all the credit when we're on the mountain, thinking that by our own smarts and ingenuity that we're there, but that, Lord, we would know that we're there because it's a blessing from you. And, Lord, when we're in the deep valley, I pray that we wouldn't look and think that you have walked away from us, forgotten us, forsaken us, left us, Lord, to our own strength, but that, Father, you're right there sustaining us, carrying us, helping us each and every day. So, Lord, I pray for each person in this room this morning, and whether they're on a mountain or in a deep valley, I pray, Lord, that they would feel your presence with them. And God, as we share and as we sing and celebrate this song together, I pray, Lord, that these words would give us a tremendous amount of strength to really trust in you. And Lord, as we sing these words, I pray that every person in this room could relinquish the control of their own life to you. That, Lord, they would want to be nothing more than what you want them to be. And then, Father, depend on you to help make it happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, Christ.com.